Welcome to the online-only segment, Market Plus. I'm producer John Torpy from Market to Market. We love answering your questions and receiving feedback. Send us a note anytime at markettomarket@iowappbs.org.
Welcome in, everybody, to the Friday, January 21, 2022, Market Plus. Joining us again as we continue our discussion, Angie Setzer and Chris Swift from different parts of the country. And you two dodge the cold. I know, Chris, every time we try to bring you up here, the weather throws us a wrinkle. And Angie, I mean, I don't know. You're close enough to a lake. It was probably like 26 below or something this morning.
We weren't near as bad. Okay. So I have experienced that, and I'm glad that I no longer have to experience it. So I'll take a low of 6.
Yeah, that sounds
good. On the right side of 0.
And Chris probably considers 60 low. You know how those Tennessee winters have milded you up a little bit.
Yeah, we're 30 and it's cold.
Chris, we talked a lot about, you answered a little bit about cattle on feed. It came out right before we taped on Friday. I think you said something about 6%, but that was a rise because they were pulling animals off of wheat pasture. What else in that report caught your attention from Friday?
The total on feed number, it came out at a little over 12 million head. So when we kind of, that's a pivot point that under 12 million head, things are very manageable. Over 12 million, it's manageable, but when you have distribution and transportation issues like this, and we have other issues of the COVID, it makes it a little bit more. So it was 101% on feed. It's the second highest January on feed number since like 1996. So we do have some inventory. The marketings were fair at 100%. The weather was probably not a big impact in December, so we have to think that the COVID, you mentioned that several different times tonight, so that is more likely than not some of the issues in the marketing, since we just didn't need as much product through that December timeframe.
Well, and you know, you talk about feeders, and you know it was cold in a lot of the cattle feeding areas this week. You saw the pictures of the ice being shipped out of all of those feeders trying to keep the water, and we thank everyone who's been going out to keep those animals well cared for. Angie, I'm going to start with AJ in Kansas. He has a question via Twitter, and it's basically asking, what are the odds that we just stay in this $5 to $6 channel all year, given the fluctuation that we're talking about in corn acres?
Honestly, I don't think it's that bad. You know, historically, you would say, oh, it's relatively low. We don't tend to stay this high. You know, you can go back through some historical charts and see that corn above $5, $5.50, and especially $6 is actually quite rare. But with all that we have going on, you know, I mean, at least for the next 6 months, I would say that it would not surprise me at all to see us stay just in this sort of range, probably in the higher end of the $5, $5.50 to $6 range than anything else until we have some more clearer, you know, answers to the unknowns that we currently are looking at.
Ooh, answers to the unknowns. Very good segue into the next question from Nathan in Yuma, Colorado, Angie, and it is about acres. That's one of those unknowns. Nathan wants to know, how many acres do you think corn loses to other crops if we don't see a spring run-up?
I mean, we've had this conversation time and time again. And obviously with $13 November 22 soybeans, it gets a little bit more, it becomes more of a head scratcher. But I would say for every customer that I've talked to, and I think Michigan qualifies as fringe, right? So every customer that I talk to in Michigan, for every person that is increasing corn and reducing beans, because corn has to move higher, right? And maybe they booked their inputs early or something. You know, I have another that's doing the opposite. I would say in the heart of your corn belt, Iowa, Illinois, you know, your areas where your 200 bushel plus yields is probably going to be it's going to take a lot to get them to look at planting soybeans instead. So, you know, to me, I think we could lose a couple million acres, but I'm not entirely convinced at this point, just because farmers are eternal optimists and tend to bet a bit on the come. And so it wouldn't surprise me that everyone, not everyone, because that's a misnomer, but a good majority of people may actually go ahead and start planting or plant corn with the idea that the price increases.
Okay, I need to go to an acreage follow-up then. If I'm someone who has wheat, wheat too, but cotton as a possibility, Angie. Has cotton done enough movement on the charts to buy acres?
I think so, for sure. Cotton's definitely one that everyone's going to be looking at planting.
Okay, all right. I hear what's going on there, so I'm going to go to Chris now. Because, Chris, I want to know, last week we had a good discussion about 23 marketings. And I know you talk about grain a little bit. You advising anybody to be buying into 23 right now, Chris?
We are looking at it from an aspect of we don't want to be caught by surprise. So we have looked into owning call options out in the July of 23 timeframe for just such an instance. We saw so many markets in the year of 21 exceed levels that we've never seen before or could have ever really fathomed in moving to. So what I don't want to have happen is my client wake up one morning to $8, $9 corn and we have nothing on. So what we've really done is just taken some preemptive strikes against maybe something like that and own some really out of the money call options. Maybe own a few more than what you need so that you can make up a difference if it does work. If it doesn't work and we're able to buy grains cheaper, it's going to be really hard to not be able to overcome the premium that you pay for it.
All right. So, Angie, I guess I'm going to ask you this question. I'm going to skip down to Roger in Indiana because he's asking a little bit about this discussion. Roger's asking us via Twitter, do farmers make money buying options insurance as a hedge as a group on average? Yes or no?
Well, 90% of options expire worthless, so I think that answers the question. But I think if managed properly and, you know, utilized in a way that does enhance their hedging, you would, if you talk to people that are working with the right people or have experienced and really worked to educate themselves, you will find that a good portion of them have made money using options, you know, to really enhance the hedging practices that they're using.
How much 23 are you advising people on? I know you probably saw the traffic last week. We asked Matt Bennett that question, and it continued through to this week. What's your take on 23?
We've been small. Basically, I've been saying, what's the smallest crop you've ever produced? And let's look at starting with 10, 15, 20%, depending on what crop you're looking at, which price. You know, specifically, a lot of folks have been asking about 23 wheat. And so that's been the one where it's like, all right, well, let's start small, smallest crop, take a percentage. What's the floor you want to look at? 20% or so, something of that nature. Obviously, these are good numbers to take advantage of, but there's so many unknowns in the world today. It's hard for me, especially when it comes to the costs of production, not necessarily whether or not 525 or 1250 or 750 are good prices, but what is it going to cost to produce this crop next year? You know, that's the part that I get really nervous about, you know, saying to get aggressive.
All right.
Well, and so we've the lower end.
Okay. So Phil in Dresden, Ontario asks us a little bit of a combination of all of these questions. We're talking about in a perfect world before. Now let's talk about the current world we're living in. Is it time to sell new crop or is the geopolitical risk this year too hot? Whether it's Ukraine, Russia, China, Taiwan, to price now, or, Angie, should we just bear down and do the right thing?
Bear down and do the right thing. I think he's been listening to me too much.
I think so, yeah.
I think we talked about it a little bit earlier. What you're spending, I think you have to cover with some sales. You have to look at really kind of trying to make sure that you're being a proper manager of your risk. Now, if that's through options, go ahead. If you want to, you know, sell some and defend with some calls, that's fine as well, or own puts. But I think it's definitely something that you want to be aware of, especially if you're a younger producer working to build some equity and really, you know, especially working not to go backwards. Mm-hmm. I think you have to really have an honest conversation with yourself about what your cost structure looks like, where your level of profitability is, what you think you'll be able to accomplish when it comes to spreads and basis and actual cash values. And, you know, make sure you're taking advantage of $13 soybeans, especially if the market, if you're making a decision on planting based on market values, you have to take advantage of these values because they're not guaranteed to be there later.
Okay. Chris, I need to get you another take on this. I feel like I'm maybe a member of a committee. I keep asking similar questions, but a lot of them are the same. This one, Chris, is for you specifically. JJ in Minnesota wants to know via Twitter, where do you see the cattle market through 2022, given both the drought and the cow liquidation. You've kind of talked about the drought. Let's talk about the cow liquidation side of this equation.
Well, I think we have to wait until for two more months until we get to the March timeframe and see if the drought is broken enough to reestablish the pastures in the Northwest where they're burned up so bad. So really, we're not going to know for two more months what that might be. But again, as we know, we're in some kind of minor liquidation right now. If that slows and goes into any kind of expansion, we start pulling those cows and heifers back onto the farm. When we look at as far as prices go, I doubt very seriously that you will see the premiums put on futures that we have in the years past. If we look back, and Angie had answered this question very well about the option expiring, but what a lot of producers don't understand is when they say, do they make money off of the option, do they make money off the future, what that probably helped, even though the actual balance of the position may be a loser, the cash side of it could be an enormous winner. And that backing by either the put or the call option that allows the freedom of movement, and it can give that producer the ability to withstand a lot of market pressure, knowing that he has a backstop somehow or another there. Now, the market does something different, as we all know, in the next 6 weeks, 6 months, then he gets to take advantage of what he had no idea was going to be available to him. But in the whole interim, he's still protected to a limited maximum ceiling or minimum sale floor, one of the two.
All right. It's been fun that you've both had a chance to be positive. Now, in our last question, you're going to have to stick your neck out just a tiny little bit. Angie, sorry that you've said so much about you're always willing to roll with whatever we ask. Poe Farmer in Tennessee, and maybe the Twitter handle says what he's about to ask. Angie, you first. When is the crash coming?
Oh, God. I mean, it's the 700-pound gorilla in the room. So I think, honestly, we have to watch the outside markets more than anything, you know, potentially see what's going on there. And then, obviously, geopolitical. Like, I don't know. Yeah. It's coming, but could it be 6 months from now? Could it be 6 years from now? Yeah. I mean, honestly, I wish I could say with confidence when and it make my job much easier. You know, but I think that goes back to the conversation we had before about managing risk and booking profits when you can, you know, simply because we don't know, you know, what's going to happen 6 months from now.
What do you think, Chris? When's that crash coming? We saw the we saw the equities give back some this week.
We did. I think when the money slows down, we continue, even though the Fed is tapering, they continue to pour more money out into the system. The current administration is talking every day about more social spending out there. So until you pull back on the spending and you stop giving people money that don't work for it, then you're going to continue to have greater inflation. It's just the obvious. More money creates inflation. And when you have no type of infrastructure being produced from that money being doled out, they just go buy things with it.
Mm-hmm. Chris Swift.
I'm really sad he didn't take the opportunity for more money, more problems.
He could have. And frankly, I just also need to apologize to the control room. I resisted the entire time not doing any meatloaf comments either. Two out of three ain't bad. Paradise. Any, you know, we haven't seen anything by Dashboard Light. All right, Angie Setzer, Chris Swift, thank you so very much. Good to see you both and appreciate your time.
Thank you, Paul.
Thanks for having me.
All right, next week we are going to look at the call for voluntary electronic identification in cattle while Elaine Cubb will analyze the markets. Thank you so much for watching. Have a great week.